We are literally only talking about this now. 2-3 years ago. I mean, I was having conversations with my friendship group and it was like, oh my God, I wouldn't say that at work. You know, it's like so taboo and people would be looking at me and saying, oh, there's the woman there with the menopause. Mm-hmm. Oh, stay away from her. Uh-huh, stay away from her.
Hello, I'm Kim Kelly and I am delighted to welcome founder of Menopause NI, Siobhan Kearney, and menopause coach and fitness instructor, Geraldine McAleenan, to the Driven by It's for Women podcast. Now, ladies, 10 years ago, it would have been unthinkable that the conversation that we are about to have would have taken place, let alone have been recorded and put out in public. Because I'm here with two women, and you two women are experts on the menopause, and you use your experiences to make a difference to women in Northern Ireland. Now, ladies, I'm sure that you will agree, us ladies who are entering into our 40s and 50s wouldn't have dared to talk about such things as periods. Did you like how I did that? Did you like how I whispered? Because whenever I was growing up, we whispered the word periods, and menopause was known as the change of life. And it was very much whispered like that. So I am thrilled that times have now changed and we can finally talk about the menopause and how it affects all of us, and that is women and men, which we're going to come on to later. So you're both very welcome. So ladies, let's talk about the menopause. It's time to get this conversation going and let our voices be heard.
So right.
So I'm going to come to you first, Siobhan. Now, by way of an intro, this is a long intro for you, Siobhan, because you're one of these women who's done it all. So you have over 25 years of experience in senior leadership roles in Northern Ireland's community and voluntary sector. In 2018, you founded At One Wellbeing, and in response to growing demand for menopause awareness, you established Menopause NI. You did that all by yourself. You have been actively involved in menopause awareness for the past 5 years, and you do workshops and you help businesses in creating menopause-friendly policies and procedures. And this is something that just wasn't done here before. You have conducted research on women's menopause experience, leading to the development of the first NI menopause manifesto. I'm going to have to ask you about that later, because I didn't even know there was one. And in May, you're going to take part in an event called Let's Talk About Menopause in the Workplace, but more about that later. So after that very long intro, Siobhan, my first question to you is, why did you become involved in meno awareness? Was it through your own experiences?
Yes, that is exactly why I became involved in menopause awareness. So I was chief executive of a mental health charity in Northern Ireland. And I do remember sitting in my office going like, right, okay, I am fed up to the back teeth. I was getting, you know, very frustrated and a wee bit ragey. And I actually left my job as a result of the symptoms of perimenopause.
Right.
And why I then decided to work on that, because I didn't know what was happening. And I thought, oh my goodness, it was only looking back and going, Siobhan, you didn't know you were in perimenopause. How many more women are like you? And I thought, you know what? Something has to be done. Somebody has to start this conversation. And when I did start the conversation 5 years ago, it was tumbleweed.
Really?
Tumbleweed. Nobody else was talking about it. And my nature, I suppose, is let's just do it. So right. I started to design and develop and deliver menopause awareness programs. And I suppose looking back over those 5 years, the volume of conversation has risen, and that has got to be welcomed. Because you're right, the M word, the change.
The change.
The change. And I thought to myself, no, because you know what? We are the change. It's up to us to start those conversations. And it did take a bit of bravery and a bit of persistence and putting my shoulder to it. But I just thought, if, you know, this conversation needs to happen and somebody has got to start it. So I did.
Fantastic. What a fantastic idea. Now, if I can move over to you, Geraldine, you are a certified menopause specialist and you help women going through the menopause. You are a member of the British Menopause Society. You're a fitness instructor and you have won numerous awards for your work with women and in the fitness industry. But again, let's go back. Tell us about your experience of the menopause, perimenopause.
Okay, so I was about 40. I'm now 48. And not feeling me. I didn't know what was wrong with me, couldn't put my finger on it. Work as a fitness instructor was extremely difficult because every 6 weeks we had choreography notes to learn. Mm-hmm. So my biggest symptom was brain fog.
Yes.
And really, for a routine that would have taken me maybe 3 hours to learn, well, 3 months down the line, I still couldn't learn it. And so it was a really embarrassing time in my life because I've been doing this from when I was 20.
Yes.
And even though the choreography wasn't, you know, there wasn't much difference in the one routine from the next routine, I just couldn't learn them. So it was becoming like a laughing stock of work. And even though I was in a female orientated work and I was one of the directors, it still didn't matter because when we came together to practice and release a new exercise routine, it was me that couldn't remember. And I remember standing on the stage with my hands on my head at a new release and just standing and shaking my head going, does anybody know what's next?
And you couldn't remember.
No, I couldn't remember. And no matter what I did, I spent weekends from morning to night going over them and over mm-hmm. them. I just couldn't. So the brain fog for me was my first symptom.
Yes.
And it really and truly destroyed my career.
The brain fog, I don't think people realise just what the brain fog's like. I mean, right now I have your names written with arrows pointing towards which one's Siobhan and which one's Geraldine. Yeah. Now, 20 years ago, I wouldn't need to have done that. But now I'm like, Siobhan, Geraldine, you know, and with an arrow because I forget.
I know.
It's so strange. But what are the other symptoms, Siobhan, I'm now pointing to you. what are the other symptoms of the menopause and perimenopause? What are we looking out for and how does that impact on your workplace?
Of course. So there are in and around 40 symptoms of the menopause. And I do, when I'm out delivering programs, I would say there are 40 symptoms of the menopause and I don't know any one woman who has those 40 symptoms. And one day a woman put up her hand and said, I do.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, my goodness. So the symptoms of the menopause really are physical.
Yes.
They're mental health and emotional symptoms of the menopause. And I suppose when you think about, you know, the most commonly known symptom of the menopause is hot flushes. And sometimes I think, oh, my goodness, if only it was a hot flush, I could have coped through my own menopause the very best. But as Geraldine has said, brain fog, memory loss, lack of concentration, low mood, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, all of those things that make us feel less confident in ourselves.
Yes.
And of course, if you're in a workplace and these things are happening to you, that is very, very disruptive because some women do, and myself included, get that imposter syndrome and that lack of recognition of yourself. You don't recognise yourself. Things have changed so quickly and so rapidly and can be very, very, very difficult to manage these symptoms in the workplace. And you know, I did that research that you talked about to create the first Northern Ireland Menopause Manifesto, and 50.3% of women said that they weren't coping. And I thought, wow.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of women who are saying they're not coping with menopausal symptoms. And so the mental health symptoms, the tiredness, the exhaustion, that lack of sleep, incontinence, all of these things that have a real impact on us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is difficult for a lot of women as they're experiencing these symptoms. And then you add in the physical symptoms like the brain or the hot flushes, the aching joints and pains and all of these things. And so they culminated at one period in our lives. And it's like, oh, my goodness, what's happening here? And when you're considering women in the workplace, if you're having persistent hot flushes, it can be really embarrassing. And then that makes the hot flush even worse. Mm-hmm. If you're experiencing anxiety, panic attacks, low mood, depression, lack of confidence, all of these things can have a real detrimental impact on how you feel about being in work, how you think other people feel about you being in work. That fear around, is this impacting my performance? Is it impacting my relationships at work? I want to isolate myself. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm sitting in a meeting, I'm having a hot flush, everybody's looking at me. But when workplaces understand the menopause, actually this becomes a lot easier. And there, the statistics are out there that, I mean, the Fawcett Society did some research last year which said 1 in 10 women who are experiencing their menopause left their work as a result of symptoms.
As many as 1 in 10.
1 in 10. That's a lot of women.
Because this is the time of our lives. We should be on top of everything. I mean, our kids are up a bit if we have kids. You know, you've usually got a house and a partner. You've done all the sort of adult stuff. We should be like meadow babes.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be feeling like this. And I don't know if anybody, you know, probably isn't going through this. You sort of feel like you're done.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, and that word, I'm done, I'm an old hag, I'm dried up, dried out, all of this stuff, absolutely.
Oh my goodness, that is the one I hate, that sort of suggestion that you're kind of dried up and done.
Aye.
That, and it's so vulgar, but it's just, that is what we sort of think. Now, Geraldine, coming back to you, you had a really tough time. So how did this make you feel?
Okay, so first of all, you start to make up excuses.
Right.
You hide and you're going home at night. Now, working in the fitness industry is very long hours. So you're maybe getting home at 10 o'clock at night and you're sitting up all night thinking, well, how can I change this? You know, the business was like 10, 11, going into its 11th year and everything was really successful. But you knew, and I knew in my heart and heart, that I couldn't continue doing what I was doing. So I would go home at night and I'd pour a glass of wine.
Right.
Because you turn either to caffeine or alcohol.
And or both.
In my case, both. Yeah, yes. In my case, both. Yes. And then you would sit thinking all night, okay, how can I hide this? Then I didn't know exactly what was wrong with me. I knew there was something wrong. Like that, you think you've got dementia. That's what you think you have.
Yes.
So then I came up with a great idea that I was going to change the whole work so that I didn't have to remember my routines, so that I could be in control then. So I changed everything and I made up my own routines.
Right, so you went back to basics and made up your own routines rather than following these sort of like
American style
like Les Mills. They are very hard.
I mean when you do them for so long, they shouldn't be, and then you're thinking, so then that had a dramatic effect on the business because people didn't like that.
No, because they want to follow the ones
they
see on YouTube and they see on Instagram, and there's all these different like American dances that they want to learn. And then so you could no longer, so you're sort of basically going back to the 80s and
I'm
making
going
up
back to what it did whenever I was 18 making things up myself, and it didn't go down
no,
too well.
It doesn't really fly these days, that doesn't
so you kind of know there's something wrong with you and then you try and hide it because you're too embarrassed.
So what did you do next then for work?
Well, you see, then what really happened was the COVID hit.
Right.
So for me, that saved me.
Right.
So I could hide then.
Yes.
And I did hide. And then I realised then that there was something not right with me. But I knew with the time, because I wasn't spending all the time in work, that I was healing a bit. I was less fatigued. I was less anxious. And then I started to delve a little bit deeper and really educated myself on my symptoms. I was definitely perimenopause. I had severe vaginal atrophy.
Gosh.
And of course, totally dismissed by the GP because because I was too young. You see, I was, there's no way I had vaginal atrophy because I was so young. I had thrush. But I knew then from edge. So I enrolled on an online certified menopause course with Burl Education. And it was then that my life changed. Mm-hmm. So I was able then to go to the GP and say, look, I have XYZ and I want treated for that. Then I realised how important then change in lifestyle was. And in fact, when I look back now, the exercise that I was doing then when I felt so bad actually wasn't the exercise I should have been doing at all.
It was too high impact.
So it was really having an effect on my cortisol levels.
Right.
So that was actually what I was doing, was making my symptoms so much worse.
Oh, right. That's interesting, because a lot of women are told, oh, go out and, you know, take lots of exercise, but it could be the wrong kind of exercise.
Exactly. And for me, it was because it was really high impact. So that was adding fuel to the fire, and that was putting my cortisol levels through the roof even more.
Right. So what kind of exercise should we be doing? I'm actually taking notes here.
Yeah. So we should definitely be doing at least 3 to 4 strength sessions a week.
Like weights. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely weights. Now, I'm not saying go into the gym and lift big, massive, heavy weights, using your own body weight and starting off really gently, like with 2-3K and building it up. So just recently, I have gone back and done my level 4 Pilates.
Oh.
And the reason why I've incorporated Pilates into my own, first of all, I did it for myself because I still knew I was still healing and I knew that I had to pull back on the exercise still. And I've obviously just a month ago qualified as a level 4 Pilates instructor. So that can be used as a recovery.
Yes.
A really nice recovery, because there's mobility, there's stability, and there's stretch.
So that's great, because obviously your entire life was health and fitness. So you were able to adapt your skill set to work with menopausal people and to work for you as well.
Exactly.
So back to you, Siobhan. So you've set up Menopause NI. What made you continue this work after you'd maybe sort of sorted out your own symptoms? Did part of you think, oh, I'll just leave it now? Or did you think, no, I need to help other people?
There is no leaving the menopause. You know what? I started my own perimenopause probably in around around 45, 46 years of age, didn't know what was happening. Hit the menopause when I was 48, and of course the average age for a woman to experience a menopause in the UK is 51, so I was an early bloomer.
Yes.
Take a bow.
Yes, a baby.
But you know what? I will be in postmenopause for the rest of my life, and there was no on-off switch.
Right, now explain that.
Okay, so perimenopause is the time before menopause.
Yes.
So that's, say, maybe 5-6 years prior to your menopause, and that's when symptoms start. The only difference in that and menopause is the fact in perimenopause we're still having our periods.
Right.
And for a lot of women that can be very confusing. I'm still having my periods. This couldn't be menopause because there is such a lack of awareness around these stages of the menopause. So perimenopause, still having the periods, but symptoms start. Then menopause is a one-day event. Oh my goodness, if only menopause was a one-day event. So that is the 12 months, the anniversary of your last period. So 12 months since you had your last period. The next day, you are postmenopausal. But that doesn't mean the symptoms stop. The symptoms can continue for up to 10 years for some women. Some women, you know, maybe 4, 5 months, 6 months.
Yes.
Very, very, very individual journey. So I thought, right, I'm postmenopausal now. You were talking, Geraldine, about the lifestyle changes. I chose to make a lot of changes in my lifestyle, looking at the types of exercise I did for my cardiovascular health, for my muscle health, for my bone strength and density. I looked at my diet as well. I went on HRT, so I was doing everything. But there is no stopping of the menopause conversation. Just because I was through the worst of it and then out the other side, actually, I'm thinking about nieces coming up behind me.
Yes.
I'm thinking about younger women who need to know this stuff, but without being frightened about it. Because for most women, it is a natural transition in their lives. And there's so much going on in the media, and there's like, oh, the menopause is just awful and it's just terrible. Let's take a balanced view in the menopause because, as Geraldine was saying, you know, recognising it early, doing the positive things for yourself. There is no magic wand here. I don't have one for you. I have one for myself. And so making really positive and proactive choices for myself to manage my symptoms at that stage in my life was good understanding, good knowledge, good support from my GP. And then thinking, right, okay, workplaces in particular, a lot of women work through their menopause. So
yes,
actually really being proactive in supporting workplaces. And it's not like, you know, this thing that's a workplace issue, the last workplace taboo. I'm like, seriously? You start using language like that and workplaces are going to like seize up and go like, no, not another big thing for us to deal with. This is, I'm going to use the word simple.
Yes.
Because with the right understanding and knowledge in workplaces, some of the very smallest of steps and changes that can be made in workplaces can make the biggest difference to women. So I keep at it and keep doing it. I'd probably be doing it when I'm 70 and 80 because it's important. But I would like to think as well, maybe in 5 years' time, I'll be out of a job because the conversation will be so normalised. It'll not be anything that's like, you know, oh, crikey, here comes the menopause conversation. Oh, no, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's going to be a normal part of everyday conversation, I hope.
Hopefully. So as well as that, Geraldine, you have made working with menopausal women your career as well.
Yes. So I am now the menopause coach and I train perimenopause, postmenopause women. And that is what I do 5 days a week. I have started up an online business, which is strength classes 3 mornings a week. So again, the lifestyle changes are so important that I work along with the body, how the body reacts naturally. So the circadian rhythm is really, really important whenever we're working with menopause women. And whenever they come first to me, like myself, mine was all over the place. So when my cortisol levels should have been low, they were high. And when they were high, they should have been low. So it's getting up in the morning time when a woman's cortisol levels, whenever you get them, what I say, fixed and balanced.
Yes.
Their cortisol levels are at the highest when you wake up in the morning.
Yes.
And so that is the best time for a perimenopause, postmenopause woman to exercise because by 4 p.m. in the day, we start to go into sleep mode. The body gets ready for sleep.
I definitely do.
The body gets ready for sleep and we don't want to activate that with high impact exercise because obviously it's going to affect the sleep. So what I'm finding now is that I'm getting younger women coming to me now who want to know about it and whose symptoms are definitely starting younger. Yeah, definitely. Whether it's down to, you know,
education
and,
or,
as well as, you know, a lot of women come from very diet restrictive diet backgrounds.
Yes, of course.
That kind of can bring on more health issues later in life when they hit 40. So it's lovely to see that in URI it's growing. The program has grown so much that I've now had to introduce a new beginners program.
Right.
Because those gang of women have now got a lot fitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so now there's a new beginners program online has started too. And the online is fantastic because women are self-conscious going to gyms.
Mm. Of course, yes.
You know, they don't want to go into a gym full of younger.
No.
So it's really good. You know, and it's all about, the program is all about bone health.
Mm.
It's
yes.
all about slowing down. It's all about mobility, stability, you know, looking after your cardiovascular health, looking after your brain health, because all these exercises, especially strength training, mm-hmm. helps your brain, your bone and your hearts.
And right now, how do you feel? How do you feel sort of mentally and physically?
Oh, I'm completely, I'm a changed mommy, number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your relationship with my partner's so much better.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go out again.
Yes.
I want to go places again.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I really feel a better version of myself.
Well, you're sitting here and you're actually glowing. So I'm sort of looking at you with jealousy across the desk and you're glowing and you are an advert for your business. And I'm thinking, where did I sign up for this?
You know, I do practice what I preach.
And yes, you seem to, definitely.
And the thing about it is, you know, I say to women, it's not, your life doesn't have to be boring.
No.
So on Saturdays I say to my girls, get dressed up. Go out, show off your new body, show off everything,
right.
And step back from it all. You know,
yes.
You can have a good life.
This is the best time.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm having a wheel of a time to myself.
This is great. I love hearing this. Girls, I'm loving hearing this. So Siobhan, you're going to be taking part in an event called Let's Talk About Menopause in the Workplace. This is your next thing that mm-hmm. you'll be doing. So tell us about that.
Wow. ASG have actually brought together the most amazing lineup of speakers.
ASG are the PR firm who are running
this. That's exactly it. Yes, and they are doing a remarkable job in raising awareness again of this within workplaces.
Yes,
and it is specifically tailored to HR professionals, leadership teams within organisations, maybe business owners who have female staff on their team, and of course, women who mm-hmm. are interested in learning more about the menopause. And do you know what? To be on stage with Liz Earle and Kate Moore and Geraldine Magalinen, of course,
experts in their field,
is absolutely remarkable. And so I have partnered with ASG in the development of the conference. So I'm so looking forward to it because it is just amazing to see this focus on menopause in workplaces. As I said earlier, lots of women of my age are in the workplace.
Yes.
And you said it yourself, we are at the top of our game.
We really are. We don't have childcare issues. We have a little bit more money than we did, you know, a little tiny bit more.
Tiny.
You know, we've got experience,
mm-hmm.
you know, we look okay. So, you know, it's just this one thing holding us back.
We look great, by the way.
We do, actually. I didn't want to say that, but we do. Let's rock and roll it.
Yes, we are at the top of our professional game. Here we are with years of experience. For women who have worked for organisations for a long time, they are carrying the corporate memory that is so incredibly important. Skills, experience, knowledge. The confidence does take a dip at this stage.
Yes, but
right?
It shouldn't.
But it shouldn't. And so that's where the magic can happen. So when mm-hmm. workplaces understand what support, well, they understand the menopause, number one.
Yes.
So at this event, we'll be talking menopause. We'll be talking about the symptoms of the menopause, how it impacts women at work, and some of the really practical things that can be done.
And what are some of the practical things that workplaces can do?
Do you know what? Say, and I'm always very conscious that it should be a co-produced
mm-hmm.
piece of work because mm-hmm. you can't assume that, oh, look, they're doing that, we'll do it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would be more inclined to speak to the staff who are in my workplace.
And say, what do you need?
Ask them.
Yes.
So some things that are really practical, you know, for the incontinence, access to the toilets.
Yes.
For a woman who's in perimenopause and maybe is having heavy bleeding,
yes.
again, access to washroom facilities. For women who are experiencing hot flushes, if the culture within the organisation is right, let's allow them to control or let them control the temperature. If they feel comfortable about getting a desk fan, a desk fan.
Yes.
You know what?
For a woman, things.
Simple. Oh my goodness. And that's what I always say. This does not have to be complex. It does not have to be expensive. Sometimes it's the smallest of things that can make the biggest difference. But also providing space where women can have conversations about this.
Yes.
Have a management structure in place which understands. And I know, I mean, you were talking earlier about, you know, conversations with men. When I'm out delivering workshops in workplaces to the leadership team and the management team, and there are lots of men who are managers and leaders.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes it can feel a wee bit awkward at the very start, but then sure, I'm great crack. And I love, this conversation. Let's ignite the conversation. Have no fear.
Yes.
It might feel awkward, but you're a leader or a manager within an organization or a HR professional. This is your responsibility. Under health and safety legislation, under, you know, anti-discrimination legislation, there are things that you must do to support female staff. And ask the question. Have the confidence.
Don't be scared. So what we're saying is anybody who comes along to this, let's talk about the menopause in the workplace event, don't be scared. Come and join this conversation.
Absolutely.
And you'll be able to retain your staff, which is wonderful, because, you know, we're not off having babies or anything like that now, you know. We're past all that.
So it's so funny too, because what Siobhan has said, you know, we need to get men involved. And I always say, so my son's 17.
Yes.
And I remember just a few nights ago, I was going through the house and my stomach was all swelled. And I was, oh my goodness, my stomach's all swelled. Look at the size of that, Joe. And he says, Mummy, that's your menopause.
Oh.
And I says, now what do you know about menopause? He says, Mummy, I know about HRT and I know about estrogen, progesterone and testosterone. And I says, good man, Joe, that is amazing. And, you know, it just blew me away that he is listening. So for all the, you know, for...
That's amazing for a 17-year-old to have the confidence. I think that's great because I've always found whenever I would go onto social media and talk about the menopause, I get a great response from men because, of course, most men have mothers, wives, and they go, oh my goodness, I'm so glad you talked about this because, you know, I don't know what to do. I think you told me that you'd find that too.
Yes, so I love coffee, okay, and not that long ago either. I was in a coffee shop in Uri and a guy followed me out, a man in about his 60s, and I got a tap on the shoulder. He says, can I thank you? And I says, why? He says, for saving my marriage.
Oh.
And he said, it's now a conversation, he said, because he's a cyclist and they go out in the big long runs on a Sunday morning. And he says, now I tell other men, you know, if they're moaning and groaning about their wife, oh, the wife is not herself, she's really moody, she doesn't want... And he says, you know, you need to ask her, is she perimenopause, is she postmenopause? And he says, the conversation is getting better in the coffee shops and in on our cycles. He says, thank you very much, he said, you just saved my marriage.
Wow.
That's lovely. I love a success story.
I know.
I love a success story like that. And what about in the workplace? Do you have any success stories of big changes you've seen?
Do you know what? I was invited up to a very large workplace in Belfast quite recently. And in the run up to the prep and planning for this workshop, you know, the instruction I was given was it's mostly female staff. We don't want to be talking about, you know, the stages of the menopause and all of that technical stuff. We really want to drill down into what it is that we can do to support ourselves. Really important. The day before, I get a phone call to say, oh, by the way, it's going to be mostly men.
Oh.
And I'm like, right, okay, so let's just change the focus. Honestly, I went in and the room was literally full of men wearing their high-vis jackets. You know, they were coming straight from the factory floor into this workshop. And so as you stand in front of a group and you're looking around and you're going, oh my goodness, there's somebody there and they're actually sleeping. And there's a really young fella there and he's playing with his phone. He really does not want to be here. And so you keep going anyway. You're having the conversation. You're telling them about the menopause. And at the very end, I said, right, before I finished, has anybody else got a question they would like to ask? And the young man who was playing on his phone put his hand up and says, Siobhan, can I ask a question? I was like, of course you can. He says, can you tell me the side effects of HRT?
Oh.
And I went, wow. Because there's somebody in his life
who has
started, maybe his mummy or somebody like that who has started HRT. And I thought, you know what, he can bring that home.
Yes.
Right? And have that conversation
yes.
in the home. And as people were leaving, as the men were leaving, they were coming up to me and saying, oh my God, thank you so much. I didn't even know what was going on with my partner, my wife, my girlfriend.
I thought she'd just gone mad.
She'd just gone mad or had gone off me.
Yes.
Exactly. Or that things were like really difficult in our relationship. And now I can go and have conversations with my female colleagues. I can have a better understanding, but also outside of work. And I think that's a really magic thing as well. When I'm delivering to male managers, male leaders, it's not only about the changes that they can make in the workplace, but it is the knowledge that they're bringing with them into their home life as well. So it is a double benefit in terms of even coming to this conference. It is a hearing from experts on the impact that the menopause can have on women in the workplace, which is really crucial and really important. But you don't forget that when you close the door of your office. You're actually taking it into your home as well. So, I mean, when we're having the conversation about the menopause, we're talking about it openly. We're helping people save relationships, as Geraldine has said. And Relate and I have been doing a lot of work with them recently as well, specifically around relationships, because they recognise the impact that the menopause can have on our closest relationships with our husbands or partners, even within our family circle. And been really proactive in supporting those conversations. And I am just delighted. You know, I've been in some of the biggest companies in Northern Ireland. And, you know, you walk in and the women themselves are feeling uncomfortable.
Yes.
Right? Because this is the first time that maybe they've sat together with their male colleagues. I make my presentations, my workshops as interactive as possible. It's normalizing the conversation. And you can see that dropping of the shoulders when they realize, oh my goodness, this is not going to be really awkward. It's not going to be really difficult. She's not going to be talking about her vagina. She's not going to be talking about like heavy periods. She's talking about how to have a conversation about the menopause at work.
You know, I love that we can actually use words like that now. You know, we'd honestly, if you're not Gen X like me and these two ladies are, you don't know what that's like. We could not have said that.
I know.
It's great. And now we have the freedom. I just love hearing about all these success stories. Geraldine, what kind of success stories have you had?
Okay, recently my biggest success story has to be one of my clients. So she had a heart attack with early menopause.
Is that a thing?
She had, yes, because our heart's protected with estrogen and
we lose
the estrogen protection. And she was actually on a training course in Dublin. And she was on her way home on the train and said to her work colleagues, I don't feel very well. And by the time she got to Newry, she'd taken a heart attack. And she was rushed to Craigavon. And she had stents put in and then still didn't feel great afterwards, and she then was diagnosed with blood cancer. Mm-hmm. And obviously she was perimenopause, so there was a lot going on. She took it very bad, and the weight just went on. 5 stone was on before she knew it. And I remember the first day she started with me, she couldn't tie her shoelaces.
Really?
And since then, she has come off all her blood pressure tablets, heart medication. She's been discharged from cardio rehabilitation. She won the Client Transformation of the Year 2023 in the Health and Fitness Awards. And she is an absolute inspiration. She gets up 3 mornings a week, does online weight classes. She signed up for the Women's 10K just yesterday or the day before. She is absolutely phenomenal. So it shows you that if you really focus in on your lifestyle changes, on what you eat, how you sleep, how you manage your stress, and how you move, that, you know, you can come off some medication from really implementing really good food, movement, sleep, and stress, and you can really change your life around.
We don't have to live like this. That would be your message.
We don't have to live like this.
So Siobhan, what still needs to be done?
There is still, I mean, we are literally at the start of this conversation here in Northern Ireland. There's some wonderful work going on with people like Geraldine, who's really raising the conversation about the menopause. There's still a bit of nervousness and anxiousness within workplaces about, you know, having these conversations. And you know what? I understand that. Because as women, we are literally only talking about this now. 2-3 years ago, I mean, I was having conversations with my friendship group and it was like, oh my God, I wouldn't say that at work. You know, it's like so taboo and people would be looking at me and saying, oh, there's the woman there with the menopause. Yeah. Oh, stay away from her. Stay away from her. So there's much more to be done. There's much more awareness to be raised around the menopause and those symptoms. And like Geraldine's talking about the lifestyle changes. Women need to know this stuff because if we don't know this stuff, we can do nothing for ourselves. And making those lifestyle changes is really, really important. But when it comes to workplaces, being able to engage in conversations, normal conversations about the menopause, to support and further support staff who are experiencing menopausal symptoms, and really raising the profile of menopause within workplaces, because women, actually, we are experiencing this. Like 51% of the population will experience the menopause at some stage in their lives. Why is this not just a normal conversation?
Normalise it, please. Normalise it,
absolutely. And we're sitting here today and we're having queer crack talking about this menopause, right?
No, because some of the symptoms are quite funny, of course. Yes. You know, listeners, you'll know that. Some of them are quite amusing.
But let's not stop. You know, there is no stopping place. The conversation has started. It needs to go on. We need to be, and you know, to allowing women space to talk about what they're experiencing, to support employers to have those conversations, to instill that confidence in female members of staff around having those conversations in work, because it can be really embarrassing, right? It's a very personal thing for a lot of women.
It is.
And just recognizing that, you know, it's the where these things meet in the middle, that's where the change actually happens. And I am all about being change makers ourselves.
Yes. So Geraldine, if anybody's listening to this right now and they want to make those changes, how do they get in touch with you?
Best place to contact me is Instagram at gmcaleenanpt.
gmcaleenanpt. Now, a lot of people don't have, a lot of our, you know, older ladies maybe don't have Instagram.
Okay, so I am on Facebook as Geraldine McAleenan.
Geraldine McAleenan.
So either or.
Yes.
I will get back to you.
And you'll get back and you'll be able to help.
I will be able to help change lifestyles and get them ready for a fabulous new version of themselves.
And what would you say to any woman who's listening to this who just goes, no, nothing can be done, this is it?
It can be done. Look, what I say to women is, you've got a new sat-nav. It's time to update it. If you go and buy a new car today, it comes with an update sat-nav. So it's just that time in your life to accept that you've got a new mind, you've got a new body, and we've got to respect it and update it. And it's the smallest changes, such as focusing on your sleep, even going outside and walking 10 minutes one direction, 10 minutes back, will help you start to understand that movement is medicine.
Right, where do I sign up, Geraldine?
Me too.
I know, Siobhan. And Siobhan, if anybody's listening to this as well who is an employer and wants to get in touch with you,
I'd say the best way is to either go to my LinkedIn profile, which is MenopauseNI, or indeed email me at hello@menopauseni.com. I also have a website, which is www.menopauseni.com. But I'd say LinkedIn or my email address would be the easiest way to get in contact with me.
And you can give them further details about the Let's Talk About Menopause in the Workplace Conference, which sounds like a very worthwhile. I might pop along to that myself. It sounds very interesting.
Absolutely.
Full of all kinds of things that I need to know about. Well, ladies, it was absolutely wonderful having you both here today. We had a few giggles there and we exchanged a few little stories. But unfortunately, that is it for today. So a very special thank you to our guests, Siobhan and Geraldine, and for joining us. And thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode as much as we have, please leave a review and hit that subscribe button to never miss an episode. I've been your host, Kim Kelly, and this has been the Driven by It's for Women podcast.